Well, there might be some truth in Senator Nick Xenophon's prediction that 2017 will be, quote, a very unhappy year for the gambling industry. Because in a small but significant move, a group of ethical and mainstream superannuation funds are lobbying our four big banks to stop credit cards being used for online betting. This is when you have your credit card conveniently linked to a gambling app on your phone, for instance, as is pointed out in all the sport betting ads aimed especially at young men that you see everywhere now, and I certainly did over the holidays. This is Australia's fastest growing form of gambling. So, what's prompted the super funds to lobby the banks? Simon O'Connor is the chair of the Responsible Investment Association Australasia. His organisation is discussing the problem with the banks on behalf of the members' super funds. And Dr. Sally Gainsbury is the deputy director of the Gambling Treatment Clinic and Research Group at Sydney University. She's an expert on the psychology of gambling. Welcome to you both.
Hi, good morning.
Thank you, Geraldine.
Simon, could you explain in a little more detail, please, what your member funds would like to stop in relation to credit card use?
Certainly, Geraldine. So I think what our member funds have seen very clearly is this growing issue around problem gambling and growing visibility of gambling, as you've alluded to. And I think what has long been an issue for ethical investors, that is that they don't want to support something that's causing a social problem, is moving swiftly to a mainstream investment issue, which is the providing credit and lending money for people to gamble is fundamentally a poor business decision. It's not a smart thing to be providing credit facilities for gamblers, and particularly for problem gamblers. So hence our members, who are the super funds, who represent many Australians out there, are big investors in the banks themselves, see the banks facilitating this through their provision of credit card facilities to online gambling. And so we're in a discussion now with the banks to say, is this really smart business for the banks to be in, to provide credit and lending money for gambling? Which is why this is really driven to a mainstream investment issue for our members.
I can't remember the super funds doing anything quite like this before. It's really quite a shift, isn't it?
I think what we are seeing generally within super funds is there is an increase in awareness that they do represent Australians, and they are managing retirement savings of Australians, and Australians do have some views around certain social issues. And so I do think there is an increased appetite for super funds to be engaging with the companies which they own, which we all own through our retirement savings, to really ensure that the businesses we're all investing in and that our retirement savings are really reliant on are aligned with the expectations of Australians. And so when we see a strong community shift and a sentiment shift against online gambling, against the prevalence of sports
betting. And you
think
that's there, do you?
I think we're starting to see that, certainly, and I think that's translating through to regulatory shifts at a federal level, and we're starting to see a tightening of the regulatory environment around the industry reflecting that community sentiment.
And how much firepower are we talking about here? How much money would your funds manage?
So our members, we have about 165 investment organisations who manage well over $1 trillion. Now, this particular conversation with the banks is a subset of those that we're working with who manage tens of billions of dollars, who we've communicating with the banks on this particular issue.
And this is using, as I understand, the argument to the banks is part of their responsible lending obligations involve judgments around something like online gambling.
I think that's spot on. There's probably three main arguments here. One, that this is fundamentally a credit risk to be lending money to problem gamblers potentially, and many of whom we know take up multiple credit cards and are betting on credit. Not a smart business decision. Second, the fact that the regulatory risk and the tightening of the regulatory environment could really shift that business and leave them out on a bit of a limb. And thirdly, I think importantly for banks, just the reputation risk of them facilitating this industry that is increasingly of concern in the community.
Sally Gainsbury, how significant do you judge this move to be?
Well, this is a really important move, and as Simon mentioned, Geraldine, this is reflecting the increased community recognition of gambling problems and demand that stakeholders, including governments but also industry partners and industry operators, do something about it. So online gambling in particular is the fastest growing gambling form in Australia, which is primarily driven by race betting and sports betting, which are the legal forms, and it's grown by up to 208% since 2004. The ability to bet on credit obviously allows people to spend money they don't necessarily have. And we know that people with gambling problems, one of the biggest harm they experience is financial harm. And attracting debt and servicing that debt can have really important implications for them, but also for their families and for their futures when they get into things like damaging their credit ratings.
Yes, it's many gamblers have multiple credit cards, I gather, with multiple financial institutions. You know, I don't know whether that's widely understood in Australia.
Well, and online gambling is a unique form as well. There's actually 231 different ways you can put money onto online gambling sites.
Wow.
So credit cards are the most popular, but they also already are flagged by banks when they come to be used by online gambling sites. This is already noted as significant risk. So banks are actually already charging a high cash advance fee of 3 to 4%, and then the interest rate can be as high as 29%, and it always waives that interest-free period. So consumers might not realise, but banks certainly do recognise the risk associated with using credit cards on gambling sites.
Yes, I just should make that clear to listeners, because it surprised me when I was reading the research that all gambling transactions are categorised as cash advances because they're seen as cash equivalents or cash substitutes. And I think we all know, well, some of us know anyway, if you use your credit card for cash, you get slugged fast, don't you? Straight away. It's different. You don't have your period, you know, your month wait before you actually get hit with the interest.
That's right. And some banks already don't allow credit cards to be used for online gambling. And it really reflects that the banks do recognise online gambling as a potential, as a unique activity. And notably, other forms of gambling machines, so for example, pokies, don't allow betting with credit card. So this lack of regulation and allowed betting of credit is quite unique to online gambling.
Pokies don't allow it anymore, you say?
That's right. The regulations don't allow you to put a credit card into a poker machine. You have to play with money you already have. And that's a harm minimisation to ensure that people aren't getting into debt and credits.
So that, okay, well, Simon, that clearly would have given you a bit more power to your argument than, I take it, with the banks. So they've already recognised this to some extent.
That's correct. And I think we do see this as standing out as something of an anomaly, in effect. And, you can't go into your local newsagent and buy a lotto ticket on a credit card either. So, there is an awareness that providing credit for gambling is not a great idea. And as was alluded to before, we have seen a number of banks who already exclude who don't allow online gambling through their credit card facilities. So we've seen a number of banks doing this. We know it's possible, and clearly there has been an awareness in the banking institutions that this is probably not a smart idea.
So what would you say has been the response from banks so far?
So we're in a conversation with the banks at the moment. I don't think, this is going to be a quick fix on this. I think what's been pleasing from our perspective is all of them have been very open to this discussion. This is on the radar as a concern. I think the banks do know they play a broader role as part of society and a big part of society, and there are large expectations on the banks these days. So we've been quite pleased with their frankness and openness to discuss this with us. We haven't got a clear pathway as to where this is heading just yet, but we are in an ongoing discussion there. So I think there's a sense that there may be an industry-wide type solution that is required here as opposed to just an ad hoc one-by-one sort of solution. So we're really working with them towards that.
Do you mind me asking you if there was a personal turning point for you? I mean, you're obviously playing a big role in this lobbying. What got to you? Did Tim Costello get to you or something? I mean, what persuaded you that this really mattered?
It's a good question. I think this is an area that I personally am quite passionate that finance and capital itself can be a force for a much stronger society, environment, and by achieving that can be much more beneficial for a more prosperous Australia. So I see the role of capital as really important in influencing the direction of our economy and the shape of the companies operating in it. So this is one particular area where I think we are seeing just quite a significant rise and escalation, and probably what you mentioned earlier is people of my age, sort of late 30s, men in the pubs with their apps and their betting apps, and it's really quite visible and evident how much things are shifting at the moment. I guess it plays a role in that broader concern that I have, in that capital is financing the types of companies and businesses that are actually more positive for Australian society as a whole.
Interesting. I mean, have you succumbed yourself No, you haven't.
No, I'm not that interested, to be honest.
Well, because Sally, I have several people I know who are quite concerned about their sons, who are otherwise, you know, very sort of good citizens and employed and so on, because they can see them subtly just getting sucked in a little bit. Have you got research on this?
Well, what we know when it comes to problem gambling is there's different pathways that people enter it. So one of the pathways is what we call a social or recreational, where you start gambling with friends, being as part of your social entertainment. And as long as you're within control of that and you're making a rational decision, this is what your discretionary expenditure is going on, that's not a problem. It is a legal form of gambling. But what we worry about is when there starts to be a slip in, that people start to gamble more, start to neglect other activities, neglecting relationships, turning down social things, spending more of their money and starting to dip into their non-discretionary expenditure, doing things like chasing losses, that's when we start to think that there might be a problem. And what we really want people to do is to recognise that, both amongst themselves and amongst people that they might know, and they can either seek treatment or they can even do some things like set themselves a limit. So the online gambling accounts actually allow you to set a limit to how much you can spend each month. This isn't really widely advertised, but it is an option that's there and people should be encouraged to use
that. Certainly is not widely advertised. And do people self-identify? I'm curious to know, or do others have to say, hey, this is getting a bit out of your control?
Well, unfortunately, gambling problem is really called the hidden addiction. It's not something like alcohol that you can smell it on someone's breath or see it in their eyes when they've been engaging in this. The common signs are things like irritability, neglecting other activities, but you wouldn't necessarily know that it's about gambling. We do have a problem where few people do recognise and seek treatment, and there still is a bit of stigma about asking for help. So unfortunately, it is often that people don't seek help till they've really reached a crisis point. So we really want to encourage people to have the conversation about it before it gets to an extreme level.
Yes. Simon, is this decision to lobby the banks in any way related to the broader issue of people trying to access their super after getting into financial problems, which is quite a rumbling story? And it's you know, as super becomes more and more discussed, people are looking at how much is taken out of their wages in effect, and saved for the end of their working lives. But I think there is a shift about just whether super is exacerbating people's issues or not.
Yeah, look, I wouldn't say that's the driver here, but certainly there has been an observation that, there is the ability to draw down on your super under conditions of severe financial hardship, and certainly problem gambling is one potential cause of this financial hardship. And so anecdotally, it is becoming more common, it seems, that people are trying to draw down on their super. You have to demonstrate you've been unemployed for 6 months. You can only take a certain amount out each year. But with the ability for people to switch super accounts, it potentially makes it easier for people to start drawing this down and using this, as Sally said, to sort of find other means to support a problem gambling issue. So I think you're right. It's a grumbling issue. It's sort of certainly something that may lead to more financial hardship out there. I think there's no doubt. And so more claims on super.
I mean, at your treatment clinic and research group, Sally, do you meet people who've had to draw on their super after they've got into financial strife through gambling?
Well, look, we are seeing an increase in people who are coming in for sports betting. Probably don't go into sort of personal details about their stories, but we do know, and we have publicly spoken about the fact that more young people are coming in. So what we're seeing is a shift in the demographic of people, where it used to traditionally be that people were sort of late 40s who are coming in with problems related to gaming machines, and we're starting to see a shift. It's not the majority, but we're seeing more people coming in with gambling problems and with online problems, and if we look internationally, this is a trend that's occurring worldwide. So it's really important that the government, the banks, all the people involved start acting now to try and protect those who are most vulnerable, particularly, and minimise the risks as much as we can.
And did you? I just slightly misheard you. Did you say that with the online there is more evidence overseas of more problems? Is that partly the overseas players who are coming in too?
Well, it's related to the availability. So in Australia, we have wagering and lottery available online, and these are the main forms that people engage in, and that's where all the advertising is. In other overseas jurisdictions that have a broader array of gambling online, and particularly where this is allowed to be heavily advertised, for example, in the UK, women playing online casino and bingo games are being hugely problematic. Now, they're currently illegal in Australia, although not to say that Australians can't easily access them. So it's a bit of a difficult decision on the regulators, you know, whether we bring it in and legalise it and put consumer protection mechanisms in place compared to making it prohibited but not being able to control it.
Very interesting. And maybe there'll be another inquiry into problem gaming this year if Senator Xenophon has his way. Very interesting developments indeed. Thank you, Simon O'Connor and Sally Gainsbury.
Thanks,
Geraldine.
Simon is from the Responsible Investment Association Australia. Sally Gainsbury from the Senior Lecturer in the School of Psychology at the University of Sydney.